Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Balance Podcast. Our guest today, the great Omari Douglas. If you're like the Gills, you will have enjoyed It's a Sin, one of the most powerful pieces of television. I was going to say in recent memory, but I mean, it's the most powerful piece of television I've ever seen in my life. It was a masterpiece. Russell T. Davies, if you've not seen it, Russell T. Davies's remarkable story spanning years across the 80s. We witness life through the eyes of these young men and the things that they go through, and the backdrop is the HIV crisis. And it is a reminder, you know, who doesn't enjoy a bit of trashy television? But this was a reminder of the power of brilliant television. And as the kids used to say about 5 years ago, this will give you all the feels. You know, these lads will make the power of the performances and the writing and everything about it was just perfect. But, you know, they'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry. I mean, it was pretty perfect television. And someone who just popped in this show was Omari Douglas. And so what a thrill to speak to someone as they are quite rightly soaring high in the skies. And before the interview, the least I can do is a lot of research. And what I really loved about Omari, and we talk about this, is how he'd done the hard yards in theatre. I think that really shows in the series, because this guy, it's his first screen performance. I mean, it is extraordinary. But this guy just pops, and his charisma just pops, and he has that aura of, wow, who the heck is this guy? Because whoever he is, I want to buy everything that he's got. And I got to chat with such a lovely, it's like Brendan Rodgers here, a beautiful human being. It's a very niche. If you're a fan of Premier League football, I hope you appreciated that. If not, I apologise. Just a beautiful soul. And I really appreciated and was very grateful for this chat and the things that Omari shares. And given the powerful nature of the show, he shares the things that he went through, and I think he will continue to go through in the warmest and most wonderful way possible. I mean, what a gift that he and everyone on the show and you know, the amazing Russell T. Davies, what a gift they've given to all of us, really. And I mean, my voice is quivering talking. It really left a mark on me. And regular listeners will know that there's certain episodes where you must be thinking, oh, mate, pull yourself together. And this one's no exception. So thanks to Omari for being very patient, because there was the odd moment where, I could feel the voice going. But if you've not seen It's a Sin, please do yourself a favour and just remind yourself how special television can be. I love movies. I adore movies, but certain stories need to be told over a few episodes, and it's a sin. Wow, you know, superb. Anyway, I'll get Omari Douglas on. I'll go for another good cry. But here he is, wonderful actor, a wonderful person, Omari Douglas. I tell you, if anyone was watching us both there, that was like we were just launched our own sitcom.
I know. I was like falling all over myself. I've just forgotten how to use technology.
No, it was this is now going to turn into a very British exchange. No, it was my fault, Amara. It wasn't your fault.
sorry.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible, isn't it?
And then my phone just pinged up as well. It's like a stupid farce. What an
episode. I love it.
I don't know. I do not know.
I unashamedly love farce. I think when farce is done well, it's extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, apparently I'm really good at it today.
You know what? I bet there's an old episode of Cheers that the whole episode is a farce and it's set backstage at a wedding and everything goes. It's a bit like the play that goes wrong. It's like that. It's one of the best episodes of the sitcom I've ever, you know, it's because a lot of people frown upon farce, but I think when it's done well, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like quick and it keeps you on your toes and it's just fun. It's fun.
Absolutely.
We don't have fun enough, do we?
Yeah, there's not enough fun. There's not enough fun. Look, may I just say, now I cry at the drop of a hat. And the CCTV footage of me watching you guys in one of the most extraordinary, I mean, I'm nearly crying at the memory of me crying. But you must be so proud of how this one turned out. Can you just talk us through it? Because it's, you know, from the first moment of the first episode, we all knew that we were watching something extraordinary.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. That's really kind. We, I mean, where do you begin? I think we can only begin, I guess, with the reality that this is about something that is very real. And I think what's so amazing about it that's come from the response from everyone is just sort of like how personally affected people feel by those characters and that story, and kind of on the same or the other hand, however you want to express it, how people have been affected directly by those experiences in the 80s for themselves, which suddenly made us go, oh my God, like this is fictional and yet it's still so real for people. I think we all knew that when we, you know, read the scripts for this show, like that it was good. Like it was always extraordinary, like just on the page alone. But I don't think any of us ever expected to have had a response like this. It's mad. Like Russell said to us, he has never known anything like this in his career. And the man knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? And so I think that was probably the firmest kind of testament of just kind of like how, I don't know, pivotal this moment is, I guess you could sort of say. We're so grateful and we poured so much love into it. And do you know what? I felt really emotional yesterday because Ben, who was our production stills photographer on the shoot, he's been sharing a lot of his like kind of amazing photography kind of like over the course of the show's transmission. And yesterday he shared all of these photos of that he'd taken of the crew. And I like felt really emotional just like watching that, like just looking at those pictures, because they were astonishing, like astonishingly good. Like I hope that people like can value them as much as like they've kind of loved us, because we've had so much love come our way. But honestly, like every single team member on that show was just a joy to like work with and a joy to be around. Everyone just was, it felt like a big family, like being on that set every day. And I think that is probably why people are seeing so much love like kind of emit from the screen, because that's what we put into it. But there's just so many it was such a huge collaboration. I just want to like praise those guys, because they're just astonishing. Like they blow me away. I just love the craftsmanship of just like every person that worked on this project. They were just like amazing. So I think what people are seeing isn't just us, it's like everyone else as well, for sure. for sure.
And also to sing the praise of that crew, that I imagine that that family feeling must have been so vital, given the gravity, the weight of the subject matter and the weight of some of the scenes in this. I mean, thank God you were embraced by that family, because if that had been a fraught set, it could have almost been too much to take on, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I and it's one of the things that I've like always valued is sort of like, I guess, the working environment. And you know, well, we're seeing recently, aren't we, in just sort of just in the news, in the media, just how certain working environments are coming to light. And it's so important that we do value the working environment, because like, how do you expect to get good work if you're not like kind of being in an environment where you're being encouraged to feel like relaxed and comfortable and to be able to do your best work? And it was fun. It was also fun. And I think that's sort of like how, you know, I mean, you'd probably be surprised to know that like kind of with a lot of this sort of like heavy work that was going on and all that sort of like harrowing stuff that people were having to do, you know, as soon as the cameras stopped rolling, like, of course, you're still knuckled down in the work, but we kind of had to sort of, you know, put a bit of fun in there as well. You just have to sort of mess about and be a little bit silly, because you don't want to be in that place for too long. We all kind of supported each other, and it was always a laugh. I think we had like struck a good balance between the sort of the reality and the sadness, which of course like takes precedent in so much of the show, but we balanced that with just fun and being silly, just goofing about, having a laugh.
Now, how much does your background into, you know, the reviews you've got for some of the productions you've been in speak for themselves, but how much does that theatre background, a phrase I use probably too much, is the hard yards. You've done the hard yards, Amara. You've done the touring productions. You know what it's like to do the hard work. What I'm getting at, my friend, is you deserve this.
Thank you.
how much did that work in the theatre put you in good stead, do you think?
Wow, I think a lot more probably than I realize.
Yeah.
I'm realizing it all in hindsight. And I think, you know, I've kind of touched on it already, but I think the biggest thing is collaboration, for sure. And just the value of everyone else around you. You know, I thought that, you know, because when I got this role, I was like, oh my God, this is huge. Like, kind of, how do I take on this role? I think it would have been easy for me to just sort of like to have allowed my world to just kind of like encompass myself and only me, because I was so kind of like het up in sort of like, oh my God, I'm in this huge project and it means so much, and there's so many people that we've got like a duty to serve really well, when actually if you just take in everyone else and just kind of feed off of them, then that's where the enjoyment and good work comes from. I remember there's a brilliant theatre maker and a friend of mine, Mike Shepherd, who runs a very well-known theatre company called Knee High, who I've worked for. And I remember the first time I worked with him, he said something along the lines of like, your job is to make everyone else look good. And that I've kind of just sort of like held with me for a long time, because, you know, you can't be self-indulgent. Like, you just sort of have to think about everyone else. And I guess that's my kind of like mantra. Like, whenever I do, you know, my work, is to just sort of like, just to sort of take, sort of feed off of everyone else's energy.
Yeah.
That's kind of how my spirit works. I like being around people, and that's why I'm constantly learning from other people. I learned so much on this job just from watching them. They're all astonishing. They're all amazing. I love them all, and I value everything that they did on that show. But yeah, the discipline and the collaboration and the tenacity of that you need for theatre, I've definitely like carried that with me. So yeah, I like what was the term that you used again? The hard yards. The hard yards. I loved being in the hard yards, and I hope, you know, the theatre community right now, like, we're all kind of, it's quite uncertain right now, and
yeah,
everything's been up in the air for such a long time. And I watched a video of something the other day. Someone had filmed a production from the wings of a Broadway production, and I think it was probably the last performance, you know, when they knew that they were kind of going to have to shut down. And it was just really emotional watching it, because I think everyone knows right now that, like, when people can get back into a theatre, whenever this moment is, and I don't know when it will be, whenever everyone can sit together in a theatre and experience that liveness again, it's going to be insane. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And you know, I look forward to that day, you know, as an audience member and as a performer as well. Because, you know, I sort of value both sides. So yeah, I owe my where I am now definitely to tread in the boards for sure.
What is it? I mean, I'm such a theatre. My wife and I, especially before the kids came along, I sound like I'm blaming them, but we don't go as much as we used to. But we just said just the other night, we can't wait to get back to see a show. What is it, please, about the theatre? Maybe I'm just saying this because I'm so biased, because I love it so much. There's just something special. There's the extra special frisson in the air that you don't necessarily get at certain other live events. What is it you think about the theatre? Because there is something magical.
Spatial, like it's energy.
Yep.
Being around people, having people like receive, not to sound too kind of like goofy about it, but I think it is just that it is. I think any sort of like musician or any artist that performs on a stage would say the same thing, like that relationship between you and the audience is kind of it's inimitable, really. Because they're just there. Like, I think we all just like long for that connection, and it's infectious, and it's I don't know, it just fills me with adrenaline. It absolutely fills me with adrenaline, and I think that's why we're people who love it are so kind of attached to that, because you get that adrenaline whether you're in the audience or on the stage. Like, I think about, you know, one of the first times that I saw a show in London, and I was in the audience, and I wanted to stand up. Like, I wanted to stand up like with them. And it wasn't necessarily like I want to get on the stage with them. It was just, I need to stand up, because like this is my physical response to like just all of the energy that I'm seeing and feeling right now.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's primal, I think.
So with acting with you then, I mean, was it almost from childhood you felt almost this visceral pull towards doing what you do?
I think visceral is a good word, because I'd always been like physically affected by, especially by music. Like, I think music was definitely one of the things that really pulled me in. And I guess as most kids do, like, I used to imitate a lot, and I'd watch music videos as well, and I'd like copy. And I don't know, I guess it's also just a different way of being able to kind of express myself. Cause I think as a kid, like I think I definitely straddled a world of like being very shy in certain circles, but then kind of like being in the right place and actually being quite open to express myself in that way. So I think it was definitely like always a vessel for me to just sort of like do and be seen and heard in ways that I felt like that I couldn't otherwise. But yeah, and then it kind of went from being this sort of thing that I was just sort of like messing around with and sort of like having a play with, to then sort of like actually taking it seriously. And then the formalities came in of actually kind of like going to lessons and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think, yeah, visceral is definitely what I'd put it down to. And it's kind of been there for as long as I can remember, just being affected and wanting to like respond to music or seeing something or like having an audience, whether that's like really in a theater, or I remember like, you know, my auntie like used to laugh a lot because I used to do all these silly dances all the time, and she'd like love to get me to do them. I just loved doing that. Like I loved making her laugh like that, and just sort of like playing around with my cousins and doing dances with my cousins and stuff like that. So it's always been there, I think, for sure.
Now that auntie, and you probably wouldn't realize this at the time, and she wouldn't realize, but I'm going to cry again here, but what a profound impact, because that feedback from her is probably all the encouragement you need to know, oh, this, I'm feeding off this, I'm getting something off this. You know, so you've got your auntie being the perfect audience member as you're a child, jump cut to you earning these rave reviews. I mean, it's really beautiful, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so nice. And I mean, I think, do you know what's it's so crazy about it as well, actually, is that like, I mean, my family have always supported me. Yeah, and my journey towards kind of like being to where I am now, especially my mom, like she put so much on the line for me to be able to just sort of like pursue all of this, but especially when I was sort of like a young teenager as well, because I would literally go home, I'd get home from school, and then like she'd get home from work, like there'd literally be no turnaround. Like she'd get home, she'd open the door, and then I'd be running out the door to like get back in the car to take me to a dance lesson or to my like youth theater and that kind of thing. You know, and I guess sort of like any parent that wants the best for their child and for them to pursue their dreams does that. But my mom like really did put a lot on the line. You know, I'm not just saying that. And so to kind of like be here now is just sort of it really does feel like a blessing. But kind of back to what you were saying about that kind of like encouragement, I think it's hindsight kind of like looking back at it now and sort of like seeing those experiences, and I guess I'd have to ask her. But like I mean I've been speaking to my cousins, and they've loved the show so much as well. And you know, one of my cousins was saying to me like, Amari, like I knew you were always going to do this. She was like, from the minute you were little, like from literally like yay high, like I knew that this was what you were going to do. And that's a strange thing to hear, isn't it? Because I guess you can say that to anyone, but I don't know. I mean, I love reflecting on it in that sense, but yeah, I'm super grateful to my family and, you know, and supporting me along the way, because there was a long time where I didn't even know whether I was going to pursue this as a career. Like I was very studious at school. I was very academic, and like I did really well in my GCSEs and all that. And my school were quite sort of like keen to sort of like, you know, like, you know, you're going to apply for university and da, 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 da. And obviously like, I think to my mom, like that was sort of quite appealing. It's like, oh, you know, who can go off to university and be really clever and like do, I don't know what job I would have done. Like, I literally don't have a clue. But I think innately in me was always the desire to perform. I just kind of had to convince myself a little bit. I don't think I thought I could have made a career out of it. I didn't know whether I was good enough, or, you know, all those questions that come up in and arise in your head. But I'm glad I think I made the right decision.
Well, mate, absolutely. May I ask? So I'm a huge, who isn't a big film fan? But when I was a kid, I remember watching The Great Escape, and Steve McQueen had this charisma where he pops on the screen. So you go, who the heck is that guy? You, my friend, have got this megawatt charisma where you're on the screen and my wife and I are going, I don't know who that guy is, but I want to buy everything he's selling. Whatever you've got, we're in. Now, where does that charisma come from? The reason, what I'm getting at here is, that there's been certain TV shows, certain movies where, for whatever reason, someone might be talented, but the camera doesn't love them. But with you, the camera is having a tumultuous affair with you. It doesn't just love you. It, you know, could you just talk us through that? Because you do have this, there is a special energy there, Amari.
Oh, I don't know what to say to that. Thank you. Thank you. But I don't know. It's my, it goes back to that thing that you were talking about, that like visceral response to stuff. I can't describe the sort of like internal shift that sort of like happens when suddenly you go into that. I don't want to say mode because it is, it's me, but I don't know, like my response and the way I kind of like feed off of, you know, I'm thinking about kind of like being on stage right now, which just, it is, it's my response to feeling alive. Like I feel like I am maybe just like a smidgen more alive than I am when I'm not in that space. And I don't know. It's just my response to it. I don't know whether I'd ever have a sort of like definitive answer to a question like that. Cause I don't know. It's not something that I've gone away and tried to go like, how do I make sure that like I am this like zingy on camera or whatever, however you want to describe it. But I just love it. I as in like I love what I do, and maybe it's that. I
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love it. And that's just sort of like how it manifests itself in me. But I think I'm like a sponge as well. So I think maybe it's a culmination of just like absorbing lots of things as a kid and being inspired by like so many people along the way. And yeah, cause it, I mean, maybe it's got to come from somewhere. So I don't know how to kind of like quantify all of that perhaps, but I'm sure there's definitely people that I owe it to or sources that have certainly inspired me.
Who are you talking there? Who are your, I guess some of them are on the wall behind you. Who are your inspirations?
Oh, they change all the time. And I mean, again, not to sound kind of too washy, but like I am constantly like sort of I love everything that like my peers do and my friends do, and you know, and that's the beauty of what we do, like we're constantly meeting new people and I get to learn from them, you know. And I guess my, because we're all like perfectionists, aren't we? And so I've always sort of like had it in my head that I want to be better and I want to do things better. So I guess I just naturally kind of like look at other things and sort of take away and absorb that way. But when I was a kid, I think my sort of, I mean, I idolized a lot of people, you could say, a lot of performers, like musicians like Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson and Prince, and actors like, I don't know, big, I mean, you're talking about like charisma, like Eddie Murphy, Will Smith pop up into my head because right. especially their presence in the 90s, which was when I was growing up, and they were so present on films, that charisma, like I think of those two actors who just kind of like have bundles of sort of like energy and personality. They have this ability to, I think those two people in particular have the ability to, and people like Jim Carrey as well, they always are able to kind of like bring themselves like into roles. They kind of like slot themselves into stuff, into another character, and yet you go, that is still them. Like it's still like quintessentially them. Absolutely. And I love that they're able to sort of like bring themselves into roles, which is quite like aspirational to me. But yeah, Will Smith and Eddie Murphy definitely pop up in my mind because their presence as actors, but also just their presence in the sort of industry in the 90s. I just remember kind of like a lot of the films that I was watching, they were always there. So I was like, oh my God, if they're always there, then they must be good, or there's something like good about them, which is why they keep like popping up everywhere. Yeah, for sure.
And also the fact that, I mean, I know TV, the TV still has a long way to go, but the fact that a show like The Fresh Prince, you can't understate that show's importance, because everyone from every background love that show, and just by virtue of it being such a wonderful show, the impact that had on society, I think you can't give that show enough praise. You know,
no, you can't. I mean, it is like a bit of a cultural phenomenon, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, I think it's down to, I mean, obviously, a lot of the characters in that show are completely iconic, but obviously Will Smith led that show, and I think his energy, his charisma, and his commitment to that role and to that, you know, to that world is kind of like what carried it and allowed it to be so prominent. So I guess a lot of that you kind of do have to, you owe it to him, really, I think.
Going back to It's a Sin, there were, I mean, I, as I say, I was an absolute blub fest throughout, but there was one point I broke down, and I just said to my wife, these guys went through all of the, as you said, I know it's fictional, but yet at the same time, it is obviously inspired by this horrific thing that happened. I said to my wife, these guys, they all went through this through literally no fault of their own whatsoever. And this thing happened, and as the show beautifully depicts, you know, across time, how were you coping with that? With the as I say, the weight of it, I know we've covered, but were you taking it home with you? Was it having an impact on you? Just say a bit about that, because even from a point of view of the viewer, you know, I was having to like decompress after a show, let alone being in it, you know.
Yeah. I think what I was trying to do when we were going through the process, I think a lot of my fear was that, like, because we were playing, that I was almost like kind of gonna lose the sense of lose the reality that was there. I remember one weekend I took myself off to, I spent a day in Manchester, and I walked the whole of the AIDS Memorial Quilt Trail, or the ones that were in central Manchester anyway, because last year they plotted them through Bolton and Salford and central Manchester. I went to all the spots, and I just spent a day just kind of like with them, just to absorb that way. And I remember that day, it kind of like really, really, really landing with me. But I think everyone definitely went through like different emotional processes, like going through the filming. I remember one day, you know, and I wasn't there, but Lydia, who plays Jill, she was filming a scene in one of no spoiler alerts here, so I'll kind of just say one of the characters' hospital scenes. And she had to take herself off for a good amount of time, because especially for someone like Jill as well, who is very much kind of like carrying a lot of the, you know, responsibility on her shoulders. Like, she is such a caregiver to all the guys in the flat. You know, that was when I guess it kind of like just suddenly landed with her, like the reality of it all. And also, we were filming out of sequence as well. So I think for me, it was very much just sort of like, you were present in that moment, and then all of a sudden you'd be changing it up, because there were days like where we'd be on a hospital ward, and then sort of like a few hours later, we'd be back in the flat having a laugh around the dinner table. So I just tried to kind of like take it as it was coming. And I think no day was the same. And you also just couldn't predict like how you were going to feel about certain things on a day. But it certainly, there were moments where it certainly felt hyper real, because the sets, the hospital sets, just walking down the corridor, looking through the windows, and there were all these supporting artists who were patients, who just had lesions all over them, and it was just kind of, I don't know, it was strange to sort of be in this world of sort of like fiction and play, and yet you were looking at certain things and going, oh God, like, This seems a little bit real now. Where are we? So it was definitely like, it went like that. It was a bit of a roller coaster, I think, for everyone, I'd say.
For people who experienced that you saw me wiping my eyes there, but for people who experienced it, has the feedback been quite overwhelming? Because I imagine people have reached out to you and said, yeah, okay, what's you need to rescue me with an answer, because I'm about to go again here, Amari.
And bless you. I think the response has come from a lot of different angles. I mean, a few weeks ago, we spoke to Rupert Whittaker, who is the partner of the late Terence Higgins. And of course, the Terence Higgins Trust is one of the sort of greatest and biggest, most influential kind of organizations in terms of like HIV awareness and research. And Rupert said to us that he hasn't watched the show yet because he can't. And that's when it just, or I think that moment actually is when, like, I've literally got goosebumps now, because that's when it just landed with me. And yet he'd seen clips from the show and he had so much appreciation for the show. Like, so heaps of appreciation for the show from what he'd seen. But he just said, I can't watch that yet because it's too raw. 40 years on and it's still too raw. And he lives on his own. So he'd want to be in the company of someone to watch something like that. I mean, I guess there's no sort of, more that's kind of as significant as it gets for me, really. But on and that's not to kind of like devalue sort of anyone else's experience, because the messages that we've had have been heartwarming and just it incredible, and just the conversations that it's opened for people, like between children and parents. Like, this is something that, you know, I guess a lot of people don't talk about, so we've been able to encourage conversation, and that's amazing. And just people who didn't expect to connect with it in a certain way and feel like that they have found a connection to it. Someone sent us a screen grab from this guy on Facebook, and he was like, I don't know like how I'm going to connect this show. He was like, you know, I'm just straight white guy. He was like, I don't really know what connection I'm going to find to this. And then he was like, And actually, I've watched the show and I've felt like that I've been taught this huge, great life lesson about just sort of what a family means and how to be a better parent. And it's a universal story and people have connected to it in so many ways. And also the other day, someone tagged me in a thread on Twitter of it was a guy, and basically his uncle very much had a similar kind of like sentiment and style to Roscoe. And he posted all of these pictures of his uncle who's got like these long dreads and he's wearing loads of makeup and just all of these like extravagant outfits. And basically he was talking about how he was like ostracized from his family. And basically his nephew watched the show and was like, I have to reach out to my uncle. And the show like allowed him to reconnect to his uncle. And it's just like, what's going on? What's going on? It's more than telly. It's doing something. It's doing something huge. It's like, yeah.
I mean, you're also responsible for a very iconic moment. Again, I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say someone's hot drink, right? Now, there was a tweet where someone had said something like, just the fact that Roscoe had done that. I need to be careful. Obviously, I don't want to give anything away. But yeah. I mean that must feel lovely to be associated with something like that has made so many people smile.
I know. I mean, you kind of can't ignore the sort of like the real glee that people found in that moment, I guess, for numerous reasons or for very obvious reasons even. But I mean, we were talking about farce earlier, like that whole sequence filming that, it was like a farce. Like it just was. I was running around everywhere. I was chasing Stephen Fry down these long corridors, and there's that sort of poor tea trolley girl like chasing us with the tea, and we're opening doors and we're closing doors and I mean obviously it's such a fast-paced moment because that's just what Russell's writing is, but like if you like enjoy and just like really sit in those moments, then like you just do get so much out of it, even though like in the grand scheme of things it just sort of, you know, the it's just so rapid the show. And it's so punchy, but like, you know, even in that moment, it felt like just so great to revel in all of that madness and just like really take it all on. And it was so fun. I loved it. And yeah, it's kind of great that everyone's responded to it like that.
Now, you've been so generous with your time, but I've got to say this to you. If I could buy shares in you, I'd be like, right there, that's the mortgage. How exciting is this moment right now, with such positivity towards you? I mean, I guess your agent must be one of the busiest people in show business right now.
Thank you. I don't know. I just want to take, and I want to keep this moment, you know, in terms of the memory and the experience of this. I mean, everything is sort of like happening in a flash, and there's been so much going on, but you know, especially with the show now kind of like being transatlantic now, because right, we're in the States and we're in Canada, and there's been like, you know, it's global now, which is insane. But again, it's a testament to sort of like how universal the story is, and it's amazing that everyone's connected to it in that way. But I'm so grateful for this moment. I'm so grateful that I get to share it with Lydia and Nathaniel and Callum and Ollie and David, because they are just extraordinary people, and you know, I adore them. I really do. They're just amazing. I'm so grateful that like Andy Breyer and Rhea Ray, who are a casting team, that they cast us together, because I just think it's amazing that the chemistry was real, and that we've like now have the value of being able to take that off screen with us. So I'm enjoying this moment like with them. And yeah, I mean, in terms of kind of like where I go from here, I've been blessed to have been able to tell a story that has such kind of like meaning and has been able to encourage such conversation. And I'd love to be able to sort of like carry on telling stories that do kind of have that sort of meaning to people. I think in this instance, it's definitely been about like pulling a story that's been kept on the sidelines. And I connected with that. I connected with that feeling of feeling like that you weren't necessarily always seen. And so I definitely feel like, and I'm kind of only discovering this and sort of like thinking about this more in the past few weeks, but I definitely feel like that my duty is definitely to kind of like keep being being someone who can represent the things that have been pushed to one side, like bringing those kind of stories to life. I think that for sure.
And also when I read that it was your first, I think I even said out loud, no way, but your first screen performance.
Yeah.
For the love of me, honestly, it's a fine line between admiration and seething jealousy. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I met up with a couple of months before we started filming. I met up with Callum because I knew that he was doing the show by that point. And that's all we did for like for however many times we met up. We just kept sitting with each other and we were just like, is this really like the first thing that we get to do like on telly? It's like, is this real? Like, is this real? It's crazy. But I'm, you know, feel fortunate and grateful and have so much like admiration and just love for Russell and Peter and Andy and Nicola and everyone who just sort of like took us on board, trusted us as newbies to be able to like tell the story. I'm really thankful.
There's one last question that I often forget to ask, given the name of the podcast. Before we go, what do you do for balance?
Good question. It definitely changes, like depending on how I'm feeling. But quiet time is good for me. Quiet solace. I love books. I love yoga. I love running. I love candles and smells and just anything that can just sort of like keep me on the ground, like definitely like gives me a connection to just staying on the ground. I've been, what we all do, this world that we put ourselves in is so, it's like hyper busy. We're like hyperactive, aren't we? And we're always thinking like, we're thinking like forwards. And I've been on like, especially in the past year, I've been like trying to figure out like, how do I like actually think like now, like present, just like right here.
Yeah.
Because we're always like going that way. And actually like, there's so much more value in just like just staying present in the sort of like moment that you're in. And it's like, it's hard because like, it's, as I said, like, but our brains are always so busy and we're always thinking about other things. So anything that I can do, like, even if it's just for a moment to feel like, I mean, last year I read so much more than I'd read in a few years. And like getting lost in a book, I'd forgotten what that had felt like. I don't think I'd had that feeling since I was sort of a kid. It had been such a long time, and I love that, just being able to like get lost in those moments. So yeah, it's an ongoing journey, I think.
I feel calmer just for that answer.
Thank you.
Well, look, I cannot thank you enough. This was it was a real privilege to speak with you, and I'm really grateful. And you know, the obviously, you know, the character of Roscoe, what he symbolized in terms of just be yourself, is just, even that on its own is just so powerful. And everything about the show was just, it was just extraordinary. So huge and heartfelt thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It really, like, just really means the world. And yeah, just thank you for being so kind and lovely. It's just, I don't think I will ever get over like just how people have responded to this. It's completely mad. So just thank you. Thank you. Good for you.
Thanks ever so much. I'm really grateful.
Me too.
Take care, man.
Have an amazing day.
You too. Bless you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Huge and heartfelt thanks once again to Amari Douglas and to the people who made that happen. Very, very grateful for such a lovely and candid chat. If you want to follow Amari Douglas on the socials, he is at MarsDoug, MarsDoug, Twitter and Instagram. What a guy. And as I say, if you've not watched It's a Sin, please do yourselves a favour. It is available to watch on Catch Up. And I think it's safe to say we will all be following Amari Douglas's career very closely, because this very much feels like the start of something extraordinary, a very, very special talent. Huge thanks again, Amari Douglas. If you would like to share the episode, you'd be doing us a huge solid. We are at Balance LDN. I am at James Gill Comedy. To those of you who were at the charity show on Saturday night, that's at Always Be Comedy. We raised thousands of pounds for the Lilly Foundation. So huge thanks to those of you who were there. It was a heck of a night with Josh Widdicombe and Ramesh Ranganathan, Rosie Jones, Susie Ruffle, and closing with the great Nish Kumar. So thanks ever so much. That really meant a lot. Anyway, take care. We'll see you again next Monday. Thank you as always. I've been James. Oh, by the way, I've not mentioned this for a few months. A 5-star review is always much appreciated. Thanks to those of you who've dropped a 5-star review. Very grateful. Take care. Hope you have a lovely week. If you're a fellow homeschooler, we just have 1 week to go. We can get through this. We can do this. The final push. I would say, my friends who aren't homeschooling, I know for a fact, wonder what on earth I'm wittering on about. Whereas when you chat with a fellow homeschooler, and I'm not being glib here, it is genuinely like therapy as you share your stories. So keep the faith, keep going. I believe in you. Says me, who's nearly gone to the toilets every 10 minutes to have a gentle sob into his hands. But anyway, 1 week to go. We can do this. Take care, guys. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.